He was saying, Muslims shouldn't go back to Saudi Arabia.
You remember anything else? Was there
anything? He said, kill yourself.
The first week of testimony in the trial of the man accused of killing two men and critically wounding a third during a hate-fueled rampage on board a MAX train has been painful.
He said, I love you so much, I'll call you back later. And I said, okay, call me when you get home. I'll wait to hear from you, I'll be up. He did not call me back.
Disturbing.
I heard a woman's voice scream, he's stabbing people.
And at times, very gruesome.
When he was saying, talking about cutting their heads off and slicing their throats.
I was covered in blood from my toes to my knees and my hands.
I'm Ian Costello. It is Friday, January 31st, and this is the trial of Jeremy Christian.
From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 digital exclusive.
Hannah Ray Lambert joins me now. She is the Coin digital reporter assigned to covering the Jeremy Christian trial. Hannah Ray, anyone who wants to follow the minute by minute of this trial can follow your Twitter feed. And you are doing an excellent job of the play-by-play coverage of this trial.
Oh, thank you.
I want to go beyond that a little bit and get into the depth of this and take a look at how, for lack of a better way of putting it, how this trial feels. Jeremy Christian has been headline news since the attack on the MAX, and anyone who has followed this story has developed an opinion about him, and there's a lot of interest in this trial. To some extent, it resonates with anyone who has used public transportation. So, Hannah Ray, let's start with this question. Tell me a little bit about the people who are paying attention every minute of every day. Who's actually in the courtroom? Who's in the hallway? Where are the people who are at this trial from?
Right. So, the first day of testimony, which was on Tuesday, there was a lot of action at the courthouse. The hallway outside the courtroom was packed with a lot of journalists and also a lot of members of the public. So the courtroom that we're in is very small. So only a tiny fraction of those people actually got in. So the journalists were mostly local, of course. And then members of the public, we had Micah Fletcher was there on the first day, of course, the surviving victim. A lot of families of the victims were there, and they were given priority to get inside, basically. So since then, it's been a little more mellow. There aren't nearly as many people crowding to get in. Today, there were even some empty seats in there. We're 4 days in now. So primarily, yeah, it's still been families of the victims, like Talesian Namkai Mesh's mother and aunt are there. Micah Fletcher hasn't been back really since he was there all of the first day, and I think a little bit on the second day, but I have not seen him the last couple of days.
If you could describe the members of the general public outside of the family, there was some thought headed into this that there may be even some onlookers and even some supporters of Jeremy Christian there. Have you seen any of that?
I have not. So I know that, you know, the court staff, like the deputies and stuff who are tasked with patrolling it, they've been very, very on top of that kind of stuff. Like, this is very big in their mind. I think just from talking with them that they've been kind of pleased with how not dramatic things have been in terms of who's been in the courtroom. But yeah, they're prepared to kick people out if they start a ruckus.
We have a defendant in Jeremy Christian who's been excitable in the past, a lot of outbursts in his previous hearings on this case. What's the overall tenor feeling been inside the courtroom?
I think he's been a little bit more reserved than people were expecting from previous court appearances. On day one, he came in and said something along the lines of, like, who's ready to smash Portland's fairy tale? That was like his opening line. He had a little bit of back and forth with the judge when she reminded him that he doesn't have to wear jail clothes. He has opted to wear jail clothes for the trial.
Did he give any reason for that?
It was like they're gonna, like, no reason to hide the truth or something along those lines. He seemed unconcerned that the jury might be biased against him because of that choice. But since then, he hasn't said much. He did interrupt one witness, Sean Ford, who was the large African-American Marine who initially got between Christian and the girls on the train.
One of the people he didn't attack.
Yeah. One of the ones he didn't attack. He interrupted Ford while he was talking, and the judge admonished him for that. And again, this morning, she reminded him that he's not allowed to talk to the witnesses or he will be removed from the courtroom. Other than that, generally when witnesses are asked to identify him and point him out, he'll wave at them. One exception to that, he did not wave at Demetria Hester this morning, who was alleged to be his victim the night before.
From his rant on the bus.
From his rant on the train.
On the train the night before.
The night before, where he singled her out, and that escalated into her macing him and him throwing a bottle at her, hitting her in the eye. She was our first witness this morning, and I think the feeling was that there might be some back and forth between them, but
nothing
happened between them.
Since this attack, it's been headline news around here, and in some cases nationally, when specific things happen. Judge Albrecht was very concerned in her ruling about keeping the trial here in Portland, and then again when she laid out the media coverage rules for this case, about finding an impartial jury. Mm-hmm. They managed to. It didn't take longer than they expected it would take to seat a jury. We can't talk about who the jury is specifically, but when you look at them during the trial, who are they? What makes up this jury that's going to decide Jeremy Christian's fate?
So the jury is about half and half male, female. Seems to be a large age range. I would guess the youngest is possibly in their 20s. There is one African-American man, and he seems to be the only person of color on the jury. And there's 12 jurors and two alternates.
When you look at that jury, do you think, when you consider the 12 jurors and the two alternates, do you think it is representative of the Portland or Multnomah County population?
I'm surprised that it's not a little bit more diverse, but maybe it does align with the percentages of racial makeup of the Portland area.
We have seen in covering this trial over the last 2 weeks now, but really in the last week, as the testimony has come out and the prosecutors are making their case, some horrific videos and images, mm-hmm. and we've heard some horrific testimony. How does the jury react to those kind of things?
So from what I've observed of them, they seem to be listening intently, taking their notes. I have not seen any dramatic reactions from them, but also when they're playing some of those gruesome videos, I'm normally focused on trying to mm-hmm. watch the video from the screen in there. So I have not specifically seen juror reactions to, for example, when we see Micah and Talesian get stabbed. But during one of the videos that played today where you could see that very clearly, there was an audible gasp in the courtroom from the audience and jurors.
How's Jeremy Christian reacted towards the jury, if at all?
I don't know that I've really seen him engage much with them. He seems to be more just sitting over there. Occasionally he'll nod when something is said in court, whispering to his attorneys, that kind of stuff. I don't know that he's singled out the jury at all.
We talked a little bit about those videos, and we've heard some very difficult stories to listen to in terms of testimony. As someone who's in that courtroom responsible for providing public information about what's going on inside of there, for you, what are some moments from this first week that are going to stick with you? What are going to be the tough moments to forget?
Day one, after opening statements, they had three young girls in there, two of whom were the teenagers who were at the center of the drama that day. And all of their testimony was incredibly emotional for me to hear, because putting myself in their shoes, I was their age not that long ago. I can't even imagine what I would do in that situation. So we heard from Walia Muhammad, who was the girl in the hijab, who seemed, according to some witnesses, to be the target of the initial tirade, and her friend Destiny Mangum. And Destiny started taking some video, and we saw that video. It was really tough to watch. And then tougher for me even was to hear them screaming and panicking and seeing the camera shaking, pointing at the ground as they were running away. And just it really put me in their shoes in that moment. And it's also so hard seeing them react to their own video 2.5 years later. They were both crying in court. I think you played some sound in the introduction. It's very hard to watch the witnesses react to this. And then more recently, yesterday, we heard from Talesian's aunt, who he was on the phone with the day mm-hmm. of the attack. She was in North Carolina. And just her recounting their conversation, they were talking about how he had just bought a house that he was excited about and getting roommates to help him pay the mortgage. And he was talking to her about his girlfriend and just those little details like that. And then she ends with, he never called me back after that. It's listening to the witnesses is very difficult.
It's been a busy week for you and a long week for you. And I want to thank you for spending some time with me on your Friday afternoon as you're trying to get out of here and try and enjoy your weekend before we get back at this Monday morning.
Right.
What is something you learned about Jeremy Christian this week?
Oh, that's a hard one. I mean, he's been sitting like 10 feet in front of me all week. I feel like his defense, obviously, they haven't really gotten into their case very much. They've kind of laid out the groundwork that they're going for a self-defense case at this point. Arguing.
And that's what they're trying to present, at least from their opening statements.
Yes.
And the beginning, their early questioning in this case. They are looking at presenting a self-defense case.
Yes, which I think is interesting. I mean, they haven't made their case on that very much, but from their opening statements, they're looking at, it sounds like, trying to argue that Micah Fletcher was the instigator mm-hmm. and that if he had not gotten in Christian's space and engaged, then this would have all resolved with just some yelling. So I think that's interesting. They are also possibly trying to argue that he's on the autism spectrum. And they have alluded to having some experts coming in at some point to testify to the fact that his brain doesn't react to situations. He doesn't see the bigger picture like a quote unquote normal person would in that situation. So that's all part of their argument, which I think is news to a lot of us who have been covering this case.
Headed into next week, what will you, not that you're looking forward to any of this, but what will you be looking to learn, to see, to hear next week?
Well, I think next week everyone's still waiting to hear from Micah Fletcher. We're all assuming that he's going to be a witness for the prosecution. So that's the big one that we're waiting for.
Hannah Rae Lambert, thank you for spending some time with me to wrap up what's been, a very busy work week. If people want to follow along with your coverage of the trial, they can do that, of course, at coin.com. And how can they follow you on Twitter?
Yes, they can follow me on Twitter at the Hannah Rae, and that's HannahRay. And then Coin will be retweeting me, so you can find me on Coin's Twitter as well.
Hannah Rae Lambert, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Coin 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin 6 podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.